ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ज्वलाच्चिखं कथाकिरीतकुन्दला त्विषाद्भुतं हलधार ईशार अत्राशाच. When Lord Balaram, who carries the plow weapon, saw the gigantic body of the demon as he moved swiftly in the sky, with his blazing eyes, fiery hair, terrible teeth reaching toward his scowling brows, and an amazing effulgence generated by his armlets, crown, and earrings, the Lord seemed to become a little frightened. Purport. Srila Sanatan Goswami explains Lord Baladev's so-called fear as follows. Balaram was playfully acting out the role of an ordinary cowherd boy, and to maintain the mood of this pastime, he appeared slightly disturbed by the horrible demoniac body. Also, because the demon had appeared as a cowherd boyfriend of Krishna's, and because Krishna had accepted him as a friend, Baladev was slightly apprehensive about killing him. Balaram could also have been worried that since this cowherd boy was actually a demon in disguise, at that very moment another such demon might have been attacking Lord Krishna himself. Thus the omniscient and omnipotent Supreme Lord Balaram exhibited the pastime of becoming slightly nervous in the presence of the horrible demon, Pralamba. Om Agyan Jimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jainatasmoye Sri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram.
When Lord Balaram, who carries the plow weapon, saw the gigantic body of the demon as he moved swiftly in the sky, with his blazing eyes, fiery hair, terrible teeth reaching toward his scowling brows, and an amazing effulgence generated by his armlets, crown, and earrings, the Lord seemed to become a little frightened.
Matras Barashastu Kondeya Sitoshna Shukadukada Agama Payano Nityastam Satikshasva Bharata. Krishna says in Gita, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and its disappearance in due course, are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. The residents of Vrindavan, they were never disturbed. In the sense, their service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna was never disturbed. And similarly, their remembrance, their feelings of love toward Krishna were never disturbed. We find just within the last 1 day, 2 days, how many apparent differences of circumstances are upon the Brijbasis. First they are playing with nice balls, and then Kaliya comes. They are in utter distress. Then Krishna kills the demoniac pride of Kaliya and comes out illustrious and victorious, and everyone celebrates. Then there is a raging forest fire, and everyone is in distress. And then Krishna swallows the fire, and everyone is celebrating the wonderful, wonderful pastimes. And here we find Balaram in such a difficult situation, being carried by a massive demon through the forest. But the residents of Vrindavan, they were never disturbed, because under any situation, they continued their devotional service. This is what Krishna means by not being disturbed. It doesn't mean that your mind does not go through transformations. It does not mean that your senses do not go through transformations. But your purpose, your goal, remains the same. Under any situation, a devotee chants his rounds, 16 rounds, 2 hours every day. Under any situation, a devotee adheres to the four regulative principles. Under any situation, a devotee hears the Bhagavatam regularly. Under any situation, a devotee with faith and trust in Guru and Krishna continues his seva. Whatever that seva may be, nothing can block us from endeavoring to serve our spiritual master. And when that conviction is there, this is what it means to tolerate and never be disturbed. To not let anything take our mind or consciousness or attention away from our devotional service. To not allow any situation in this world to deviate the goal of our life and our activities from the service of our Guru, the Vaishnavas, and Sri Krishna. The Brijvasis, under any situation, they knew only Krishna. They knew only Krishna's service. But Maya, through her innumerable representatives, is constantly trying to steal Krishna from our hearts, constantly trying to divert our attention away from Krishna consciousness. Here we find, coming into Brajbhumi, this terrible, terrible demon of the name Pralamba. It is sometimes said he was the most wicked and vicious of all the demons. But he was very clever. Maya and her representatives are extremely clever. He wanted to steal the Lord away from the Brijvasis, but he wanted to do it in such an expert way that he appeared to be a most trusting and beloved friend. Pralambasura disguised himself by his mystic powers to be absolutely identical to a cowherd boy. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he was so thorough that he knew that one of the cowherd boys was not going out to play with them that day. He remained home with his parents. So he took the form of that cowherd boy. So he wasn't just a stranger, but he was someone that everyone knew and loved very dearly. According to the great acharyas, the demon Pralambasura represents the obstacle in spiritual life of stealing from one's own very self. He came to steal the Supreme Self, Balaram, Krishna, from the body of the Brijbhasis, from Vrindavan Dham. It is explained that Mayavad philosophy is like this demon Pralambasura. In the name of being, and even amongst Vaishnavas, most so-called Vaishnavas these days, ultimately are very much tinged by this Mayavad idea. That we will serve the Lord, we will befriend the Lord, we will worship the Lord. But ultimately, devotional service, bhakti, is Maya. Ultimately, we merge into the existence of the Lord, that formless, impersonal, supreme nature, which is beyond duality, beyond qualities, beyond name, beyond personality. This is compared to the demon Pralambasura. Why? Because, even though we are in the path of bhakti and we are associating with Krishna and we are associating with Krishna's devotees, this form of maya ultimately wants to steal Krishna from our heart. Even though in the form of a very, very wonderful philosophy and a very, very wonderful path of transcendental life, and so carefully disguised that we cannot even recognize it. We have seen so many of our devotees. They come to a particular philosopher, a particular spiritual teacher, a particular book, and they say, this is just like our philosophy. This is identical. This is just what our Gurudev teaches. And therefore they put their trust in this person, they put their trust in this book, or in these words, but they do not recognize that the final conclusion is to become God. The final conclusion is not eternal servitorship. And just by associating with these books or associating with these people, however friendly and however pious and however much they appear to be real Vaishnavas, real gurus, by that association, the fact is, Krishna is stolen from our heart. The true essence of bhakti is stolen from our heart. And we cannot even discriminate. We cannot even understand. Because maya in this form is so thorough, so complete, so perfectly situated, unless we very, very carefully adhere to the divine mercy of our guru and parampara, it will undoubtedly happen to you too. Not maybe, it will. If one does not very, very strictly adhere to guru parampara, Krishna will be stolen from your heart ultimately. By those who are in the guise of our best friends, wonderful philosophers, so-called wonderful Vaishnavas even. So therefore, a devotee must be very much on guard. And this is how the acharyas interpret Pralambasura. He appeared as friend. He appeared as someone that everyone knew. How maya works. On another level, sometimes maya speaks to us as a family member, as a mother, or as a father, or as a brother or a sister, or as a best friend. And maya is appearing through them just to steal Krishna from our heart. And we trust them. We put our faith in them because we've known them for so long and they appear to be really our well-wishers. Krishna, as soon as he saw this beautiful, charming little cowherd boy who looked so innocent, so peaceful, just wanted to play, Krishna knew, this is the most terrible, terrible demon of maya. Huh? What is that saying? You cannot judge a book by looking at its cover. Similarly, you cannot tell a Vaishnav simply by looking how he appears. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, when Sanatan Goswami, he had those terrible oozing sores all over his body. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him every day. And ultimately, Jagadananda Pandit told Srila Sanatan Goswami that you should go to Vrindavan. because I can see you're in such anxiety because every day the Lord is embracing you and all types of terrible blood and pus is going all over his body. It's very offensive. If you go to Vrindavan, then you will not be committing these offenses. So Sanatan Goswami told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Jagadananda Pandit has given me very good advice to go to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu said, no, who is this Jagadananda to instruct you? You are such a great soul. He said, in fact, I have understood why Krishna has given you all of these terrible sores and bloody pus coming out, just to test me. Just to test me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. That if I were to think that a Vaishnav was anything but a pure spiritual being, no matter what his physical condition, then I would be in Maya. That to touch a Vaishnav is purifying to the body, mind, and soul. And if one discriminates on the basis of material, apparent, illusory qualifications on the body of a Vaishnav, that means he's in Maya. The fact is, because you are such a great Vaishnav, anyone who touches you or sees you becomes purified. And he wanted to explain to all of us that you can never judge a Vaishnav by his physical appearances. Rupa Goswami says sometimes the guru may be deformed, sometimes the guru may be sick, sometimes all these things, or not only the guru but a Vaishnav. And if we in any way let that enter into our mind that this person is something less, or that this person is diseased, then we commit offense. Ache Vishnu Shulidir Gurushu Naramatira Vaishnavi Jati Bhuti. That you must judge by a person's surrender and devotion. If that is there, even if such a Vaishnav appears in such a terribly diseased state, we should not be afraid to embrace him. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We will simply be purified. There's no question of contamination. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to explain that in the circles of Vaishnavas, all material conceptions have to be cast away. What to speak of caste, community, race? These things are all Maya. They must be rejected when we come into the circles of Vaishnavas. When one becomes an initiated devotee and endeavors to surrender his life, he becomes greater than a Brahman. Vaishnavism means beyond caste and creed. Vaishnavism means to enter into the supreme family of Krishna's devotees. So here this Pralamb Asura, terrible, deadly demon, so destructive, evil, and envious, was appearing as one of the sweet, charming, smiling little gopas, just dancing, frolicking, playing upon his flutes, herding the cows. Krishna, Krishna, Balaramji, Harivo. Krishna knew he was a demon. He knew from the very outset. But still, Krishna, in his supreme form of a diplomat, cowherd boy, he said, oh, you have come, very nice, I am happy to see you. He greeted him with such love and charm. And then Krishna began to decide, this demon is very clever. Nobody knows who he is except me. He's come to kill us all. But I have to somehow or other kill him. But I have to do it in a special way. So Krishna appeared to believe that this was really a little cowherd boy. And he said, let us all play a game. And he chose just the right game by which this cowherd boy would be killed. And nobody suspected. You can try to cheat Krishna, but you cannot. This is the demoniac nature of all of us. We all want to disguise our real identity, our real motives, and we want to cheat Krishna. Sometimes we have so many motivations which are not Krishna conscious. Sometimes we engage in activities which are not Krishna conscious. But we want to present ourselves as very nice devotees to the Vaishnavas, to the Guru, and to Krishna. We put on our tilak, we put on our dhoti, we take our bead bag, and we think, yes, I am Paka Vaishnava. Everyone will see what a nice devotee I am. But the fact is, Krishna knows. He knows what is happening from within and without. He knows your motive. He knows what you've done. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're planning to do. You cannot cheat Krishna. But Krishna is so merciful that he allows you to go on with your show bottle. But in the end, we'll see what happens. Krishna knows just how to destroy all of these anarthas in due course of time. So Krishna says to Pralambasura and all of the others, let us play this nice game. And in this way, they were playing and having wonderful fun, and they divided into two teams, and Balaramji was on one side, and Krishna was on the other side. They were the captains of the teams. And the conditions were that those who were defeated, they had to carry the winners on their backs. So Krishna, by his causeless mercy, he was defeated. He was against Sri Dama, and Sri Dama defeated him. And in this way, some people may think, how is it that God is defeated? God takes great pleasure in being defeated by the love of his devotees. Vrindavan Leela is simply a Leela where Krishna is constantly being defeated by the love of his devotees. In so many ways, in so many forms. When he's a little baby, he's completely defeated by the love of his mother, Yashoda. When he is stealing the butter and she picks up her stick, he has to run and hide in fear, defeated by her parental affection. When Nanda Maharaj comes to the home, Krishna puts his shoes on his head. When Krishna is playing with his friends, he loves when his friends defeat him in wrestling, defeat him in so many nice games. The gopis, how Krishna, when he tried to maintain a forearm form before Sri Radharani, just by her love, his attempts were totally defeated and two of his arms melted away. So Krishna, he is bhaktivatsal. To give pleasure to his devotees, he loves to show how their love conquers him. Bhaktivatsal means one who can only be conquered by bhakti, by love, by devotion. So therefore, Krishna, he was defeated, and he had to carry Sri Dama on his back. It is described that Balaramji was carrying this nice little cowherd boy who was actually Pralambasura in disguise. He carried him on his back. I'm sorry, the cowherd boy was carrying Balaram on his back because Balaram was victorious. So he was running and running and running, and he went deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. His idea was he would take him to a sacred place and then kill him, destroy him, then come back and kill everyone else. But as he was running, Balaram was thinking, why is this beautiful little friend of mine, who was charming in all ways, why is he carrying me farther and farther into the forest? This is not the rules of the game. So Balaram began to assume a very heavy weight. Anato aniyan mahato mahiyan. Krishna is bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, lighter than the lightest, heavier than the heaviest, according to his free will. So he became heavier and heavier and heavier, until, although he was still the same form of just a little child, he assumed the weight of a gigantic mountain. And Pralambasura, he was becoming so much exhausted, so much frustrated, tried to carry Balaram, that he could not maintain his disguise and ultimately appeared in his original form. It is described here what type of form he had. Said he had blazing eyes, fiery hair, terrible teeth reaching toward his scowling brows, and amazing effulgence generated by armlets, crowns, and earrings. And it is described here that upon seeing this massive, gigantic, horrible form of a demon, Balaram seemed to be a little frightened. How wonderful. The Lord becomes frightened. The supreme controller, the supreme knower of everything, he becomes frightened. Why does he become frightened? Simply for his own enjoyment and for the enjoyment of his devotees. Actually, everything the Lord does is ultimately for the pleasure of his own enjoyment and for the pleasure of his devotees. Who is this? How is this that my little beautiful friend has all of a sudden transformed into this terrible, horrible demon? And we're about to read tomorrow how Lord Balaram deals with the situation. But in the meanwhile, we should know for sure that Maya, in every way possible, is going to try to steal Krishna away from your heart, try to kill Krishna in your heart. Even when she appears in the most loving, beautiful, tender form, you should know that in the end, she reveals herself like Pralambasura, a terrible, painful, torturous condition of death. So a devotee must be very much on guard, extremely on guard. Maya is more powerful in her disguised form than when she just appears before us naked as she is. It is a fact. Just like a spy, you can have big, big armies, but if one spy goes into your camp, he alone can destroy your whole nation. Because you trust him. You give him all your secrets. You let him in the most confidential places. So in this way, this is how Maya is working on us right at this very moment. It is not maybe. It is now. It is happening. Through those who we trust, those who we love, through the most innocent forms, Maya is trying to steal us away. Just like in the Western world, on television, children love to watch these cartoons. They seem so innocent and so harmless. And the parents think, oh, yes, of course, we're not going to let our children watch X-rated movies, because that's obvious, Maya. But little cartoons with little dogs and cats running around and mice and playing and talking and singing. But practically all that they do is fight, right? Imperceptibly, they're infecting that person's heart with violence and pride and envy and passion. They appear so innocent and nice. This is how Maya works. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Sometimes Maya comes in a most beautiful, loving form. But no, it is like a deep, dark ditch covered by fresh, soft grasses. Huh? Maya presents these very, very nice, soft, soft, green, comfortable grasses and says, "Here, sit, rest, be comfortable." And we think, "Oh, how nice. Look at these grasses. Such a sitting place I have not seen." And then we sit and we fall deep, deep into the dark ditch. This is how Maya disguises herself before us. Therefore, we must always be very careful to see through our ears, not to see through our eyes. We must see, we must evaluate this world through the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We should never trust our own minds, and we should never trust our own senses, and we should never trust our own intelligence. Because in the form of the false ego, Maya has already captured all these things. And she's going to try to divert our attention away from Krishna. She's going to try to steal Krishna from our hearts. So who to trust? We only trust Krishna and those who are his humble servants. And how do we know who is a humble servant of Krishna? Evam parampara praptam. Those who are sincerely, humbly, and honestly following the parampara system, they we can know for sure 100% without doubt. They are really friends in Krishna's service. But those who are not, they may appear as relatives, they may appear as scholars, they may appear as professors, they may appear as gurus. But what is... Are they ultimately going to steal Krishna from our heart? Maya is very powerful. Therefore, a devotee must be very, very, very careful. And of course, if we remain very faithfully in the association of honest and sincere devotees, and if we remain humble to accept the precautions given by our spiritual masters, and not so proud to think, "Well, that's for the neophytes, but not for me. Huh? I can dare to be reading all these other books. I can dare to be mixing with all these other people. I can dare to be doing these other things. Why? Because I'm advanced. Neophytes, they should not, but I am advanced. After all, I can discriminate. I know what is what." What does that mean? Maya has already captured your mind. Pralambasura is taking you away, taking Krishna away from your heart. And before too long, you realize that everything is finished. How Maya appears in any way she so desires, just to take Krishna away. Never trust Maya. Never put your faith anywhere except in those persons who are honestly and sincerely surrendering to the will of God. Even one of our devotees recently was, father of one of our devotees was glorifying this big, big company in Europe. They have so much dignity, so much integrity. They're so pious, much better than practically, much better than most of the sadhus in India, he was saying. Huh? They really have such high principles, high scruples. And those same people, as soon as some little change in their plan to exploit,
they just turned against like vicious demons. And you realize, the cowherd boy has transformed into Pralambasura. It is a fact. Who can we trust in this world? According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can only trust the Vaishnav Shastras and the Vaishnav devotees. Other than that, there's nothing we can trust in this world. But at the same time, we have to be very like Krishna. It's not that we cannot just be kicking everybody and killing everybody. We have to be very gracious. Krishna was very gracious to Pralambasura, but at the same time very much aware and on guard. This is Krishna consciousness. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you are saying that we cannot do anything in front of Maya. We just have to see that we are on the guards. Now, when we go out from this temple itself, as in when we go out, these college people are there, they do all sorts of mischief. When we go out, these posters, these film magazines, videos, films, with a great difficulty we go to our office, and their office also all sorts of things are going on. They don't have an aim of Krishna consciousness. The goal is completely different, and we are spending 7-8 hours every day with them. Now, for that, we have been told that, okay, you come every day to the temple and get that injection every day, and then you go out, and then you'll be able to maintain your spiritual life. Now that we go for it, we just try to strive ourselves and just struggle here and there, just to see that we are somewhat secure. Now, in addition to that, our movement says that we should go for preaching also. We should preach. Now, we are completely on a neophyte angle. We have all sorts of problems on our hand on controlling our senses, controlling our mind, and with a great difficulty we are maintaining our spiritual life. Now the person to whom we have been supposed to preach also, we don't know that they are having a Mayavadi philosophy, they are having some other philosophy, we don't know anything about it. So as such we are having so many problems in our head, why to unnecessarily create more problems by preaching them and taking all our things on our head and thinking that we are preaching? On the contrary, we are coming down because Maya is so subtle, anything can happen at any time. So should we preach or should we not preach? And should we go only with the straight way, whatever has been told by a spiritual master, going in a profession and coming every day to temple?
Rivo. His questions are like a Bhagavatam class in itself. Someday we will compile a book, The Questions of Ananda Vrindavan. Krishna and Balaram played the game with Pralambasura, but they knew exactly well what they had to do. So in the same way, when we want to preach, we have to be within this game of Maya. But at the same time, we must have knowledge. We must have a philosophical understanding by which we could discriminate. And we do not play the game with Maya. We simply enter into the arena, but we are fixed only in one thing, and that is our devotional service to Sri Krishna. When we go into the preaching field, we are not going to hear and to learn. We are doing all our hearing, our learning from our Gurudev. We are going simply as a messenger to dispatch the message. We're not going to receive anything. We're going to give. If we have that consciousness and we remain very strong in our sadhana, then Krishna will protect us. After all, we're going out because it is His order. If we do it according to His instruction, He will definitely protect us. Whereas if we do not take this risk, which is His instruction, even though we may be sitting in our little bhajan kutir, He will not protect us. If you surrender to Him, He will protect you. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupashate tesham nitya vayuktanam yoga kshemam bahamyo. He will protect His devotee.
if such a devotee surrenders. But we have to surrender on his terms. It's not that just because we go out to preach we're protected. We have to follow his instructions. We have to adhere to the four regulative principles. We have to chant 16 rounds, two hours. We have to hear the Bhagavatam regularly. We have to associate with devotees regularly. If we do all these things and go out and preach, Krishna will protect you. Not only protect, but empower. That is his promise. So we have nothing to fear except deviating from his instructions. We see in our practical life how Maya can present herself, just like our own mother is saying, "Oh, just take this little bit of meat. It's good for you. Please, please, come on. I cooked it myself. This has onions, garlic, but it's all right. I cooked it with love and devotion. Just take it, just take it." Or our friends, "Just have a little alcohol. It's all right. Come on, we're friends. It's not going to hurt you. Don't be afraid. Don't be such a fanatic. It's little. It's social." Huh? In this way, they are appearing as friends, trying to put all kinds of loving pressures on us. But actually, although they may not know it, they may actually think they're friends, but actually the Prolambasura of Maya is simply using them as puppets to try to steal Krishna from our heart. That's a fact. To the brahmacharis, "Come home, don't be a fanatic. After all, you should be sleeping on a nice bed. What is this floor? After all, you're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart. Look at all I've done for you. Don't you see the tears rolling from my eyes? Falling at your feet saying, 'Oh, I love you, my son. You're destroying my family. You're destroying all of my heart is broken to pieces.'" Appears like such a loving, tender-hearted mother. But actually, although she may be sincere in her own way, we don't doubt her, but it's just the Prolambasura of Maya, just using her as a puppet to steal Krishna from your heart. So if you're told to go to work, then Krishna will protect you. If you are surrendered. Any other questions? Yes?
Yesterday there was an event happened which was favorable to me, and the feeling that came in my heart was, "Krishna, you are great."
And Krishna what?
"Krishna, you are great. Thank you very much."
You're great or he's great?
And Krishna is great.
Very good.
The event was favorable to me, Maharaj. The event happened was favorable to me.
Yes.
So I said, "Krishna, you are great. Thank you very much." The event in the evening turned around and it was unfavorable to me.
Unfavorable.
Same event.
Favorable.
Took such a turn that it became unfavorable to me. Then the reaction came in my heart was, "Krishna, everything comes from you," but it was a very meek voice, not thanking Krishna at all. Saying, "Krishna, it comes from you, but see, it is wrong, it's happening something different way." And when I started watching my heart, it took me a lot many efforts to judge that I have been truly a rascal. When Krishna is doing something favorable, my heart is dancing and saying, "Krishna, you are great." And when the same event has turned a little bit unfavorably, then there is a hitch and trying to say that, "Yes, it is coming from you, my dear Lord, but there is but." So when will that come, that everything is truly coming from Krishna, and since Krishna is complete and perfect and all auspicious, whatever that comes is all auspicious, when that will naturally come in my heart?
This is our tendency. Krishna is perfect, but sometimes in his perfection, he makes mistakes.
Right? And Krishna's all auspicious. But sometimes in his all auspiciousness, inauspicious things happen. And Krishna knows everything, and he knows what's best for us. But sometimes he really doesn't understand. This is the lila of the mind. And it comes through purification. At the beginning, with our intelligence, we must evaluate. By hearing regularly from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastras, we develop a strong Krishna conscious intelligence. By performing tapasya, yama niyama, by accepting things favorable for devotional service and rejecting things unfavorable, by that tapasya, our intelligence becomes clear and strong. A person who does not perform tapasya, his intelligence is nettled, it's muddled, it's unclear, it becomes fuzzy. For material things, it might be sharp as a razor, but for spiritual things, it becomes confused. We may be very, very great scholars and orators, but the basic simple conclusions of Krishna consciousness become completely confused and covered over unless we are performing proper tapasya in the humble service of the Vaishnavas. So therefore, at the beginning, through this process, we have a strong, clear intelligence. And we have to overcome the doubts of our mind with this strong intelligence, with this knowledge. And as we continue on the path of bhakti gradually, with this good intelligence, we become purified. And there's a little voice in you saying, this is perfect, this is just what I need. But your mind is saying, what is this nonsense? Why? Why me? It's not fair. I want to change it. What does that mean? This is the nature of a sadhana bhakti. But we follow the voice of Guru despite our mind. We follow the voice of the great Vaishnavas despite what our mind tells us. That is called tapasya. We discipline ourselves forcibly. And if we do this in a sincere service attitude, endeavoring to be humble and chanting the holy names, gradually we rise, anartha nivritti shat, all these impurities are removed from our heart, and then there is realization. Then there is actual realization, direct experience of how everything Krishna does is perfect and auspicious, beyond doubt, beyond question. So that is a stage we have to strive for by proper means, vaidhi bhakti. By following the rules and regulations, ragadvesha vimuktaishtu vishayanindriyaishtaran, atma vishaya vidhyatma prasadam adigachtuti. All these attractions and aversions within our mind are dispelled through following the rules and regulations and receiving the mercy of the Lord. Any other questions?
Maharaj, you said that we should have a strong, clear intelligence. And in the middle of your lecture, you also said that we should not rely on our intelligence, or we should not trust intelligence. Now, both these things, what do they exactly mean?
It means you should hear submissively. We should hear submissively, and we should act upon what we hear from our Guru and the Vaishnavas and the scriptures. And we should reject everything else. We should tolerate all the other voices in our mind. Yes, one more question.
You were saying that we should be constantly on a guard against Spalambasura and Maya. It's much easier when there is a clear-cut black and white. When we are in the outside world, we can recognize. But who is a Vaishnava and who is a devotee amongst us also, we ourselves also act differently. So if we have to discriminate, then that means all the time, instead of love and trust, we're always on our guard, thinking that maybe this fellow means this and I think he's in Maya and I think I should be careful. This thought keeps coming often. So do we just let Krishna put faith and then let Krishna take care of everything, or do we have to be constantly discriminatory?
Love and trust amongst devotees. I mean, sometimes we are weak, sometimes we are strong, but we all agree on the same purpose. We all agree that the humble servants of Guru and Krishna is the only goal of our life. And when Maya is strong, we require the devotees to help us. And when Maya is strong in another, those devotees require us to help them. So those who are on the same path, who are honestly accepting the true conclusions of Guru Parampara, and who are sincerely and honestly striving, and you can tell who is sincerely striving, and who is trying to be the servant of the Vaishnavas, to such a person, we should seek their association. We should walk the path together, hand in hand, as a servant. Even if a devotee is very weak and overcome by Maya, if that person is striving under proper guru and sadhus, we should know that this person ultimately is going to go back to Godhead, no doubt. But it is my duty to risk everything, to sacrifice anything to help him. And it is his duty to risk anything and sacrifice anything to help us. That is Vaishnava association. So there must be this love and trust amongst devotees, because they are following the right siddhanta. They are accepting the right parampara. Therefore, there is no problem. If they are philosophically deviating, then we have to be very careful of them. But if philosophically they're correct, and due to uncontrolled senses they're deviating, then we should be right there at their side, ready to help them in any way, shape, or form. Yes? Does that answer your question?
The last word which you have used just now, philosophically deviated and the other thing, is really difficult to understand. Actually my question was something like what Hridayananda Prabhu has asked, that we think sometimes that we are not the only Vaishnava, there are other Vaishnava also. But it is also said clearly in Vaishnava Prat that you should not associate with other gurus and not read even their literature or other literature. So in that situation, how we can understand this, that what I am doing is correct or not?
Simply because we do not offend. We do not say others are wrong. We simply do not know. Therefore, we have to be very careful to adhere to the pure siddhanta of Guru Parampara, for our own spiritual purification. What they are, offer all respects. We do not know whether their conclusion is ultimately Mayavad or whether it is Vaishnav. Very difficult to tell. I'm telling you, it's very difficult. I'll never forget when I was traveling as a sadhu. I was living in Mithila, and I met one very, very austere sadhu, and he knew all the places very well.
So he told me, I can take you to all the places, you come with me. So for about a week, 10 days, I was with him. And he would just take me to temples. It was just the two of us. He was very austere. We would just sleep on the riverbanks together and on the ground, and we would do madhukari, beg for food together. I met so many hundreds like this, but this is one I'm telling. And he would take me to these different temples, and he would just start weeping and crying before every deity. It didn't appear like a show. He would just start crying. Tears would be flowing from his eyes, and he would just be real humble. He appeared very, very humble. And then he would take me to the next place. And he was always chanting and always singing the glories of the Lord. And I really was considered, this person, I want to be like him. He's really a good sadhu. I was just a teenage boy. I wasn't very experienced, but I had already met Prabhupada. And I was thinking, this is really a real sadhu. He really has so much bhakti, so much devotion. In every temple, he would just go before the deities, and he would offer so many dandavat pranams, and so many tears would just flow from his eyes, and he wouldn't do it like showing. He would just kind of do it privately. And one day we were walking together. And he was telling me how bhakti is the supreme. Bhakti is the supreme path. And I was thinking, yes, this is just what Prabhupada teaches. This is just what Prabhupada teaches. So I really put a lot of faith and trust in him. And then on another day, he said to me, do you know, through bhakti, when you develop pure love, you merge beyond the deity and become Lord Ram. I said, why didn't you tell me that when we first met? He said, because this is very, very high esoteric knowledge. You could only reveal this aspect to a person who's actually very spiritually evolved. Up until then, you just teach them the basics of bhakti, God, love, service. This is not revealed, but because you are, he said, because you are so sincere and you're so advanced, he said, I'm revealing this, the most confidential, higher aspects of bhakti. And then I said to him that I'm going to do some madhukari. He said, all right. And then I did madhukari, and I just kept going. Really, we have so many examples we can give in our own life of these things. You don't know. But if someone is, but why should we offend? We offer all respect to everyone. But if we want to really be on the true path of no deviation, we just accept those who are honestly and sincerely serving a guru who we know for sure is in proper parampara. There are four Vaishnava paramparas. One who has a genuine guru in any of these four paramparas, we can understand that they are actually in the right siddhanta. And especially amongst our own guru and God brothers, we have a particular family amongst them. We have to develop this type of love, trust, and help for one another. Even if a person is a little off, if he remains within this family and remains humble, then that person will come back to the proper standard. So in this way, we can have complete love and trust for each other. There's no reason to doubt or to fear amongst Vaishnavas within our own family. And Vaishnavas in other families, we should offer all respects. In other spiritualists who we really do not know, we should respect from a slight distance. Because Pralambasura can appear as your mother, as your father, as your friend, as a saint, as a philosopher, as a
as a teacher. Pralambasura can appear in any way, and the fact is that he is appearing in so many ways, just to steal Krishna from us. Bhagwan, any comments? Sri Galeen? Comment?
From his sincere devotee's heart, he's stealing Krishna. So definitely Krishna also says that I am also residing in the heart of my devotees. So when Maya is stealing his devotee from away from Krishna, so definitely Krishna has to take care of his sincere devotee. Just like Maya is stealing, Maya comes in the form of Pralambasura and is stealing Krishna from the heart of his sincere devotee. So similarly, Krishna says, I am also residing in my devotee's heart and my devotees are residing in my heart. So when the Maya is stealing a devotee from Krishna's heart, definitely Krishna has to take care of a sincere devotee.
If we are sincere and humble to follow this process,